fucking awesome. Come on, it's gonna be fucking awesome.
You know the words.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
That's it, see.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Hi-ho, Jesse Blaze Snyder here, the coolest geek alive. Hello, my coolest geeks. How you guys doing? Happy Saturday. I'm recording this Friday night. Oh, man. I got sick last night. My son had been sick. My roommate was sick. I had, like, both of them had stomach things and, throwing up and going to the bathroom. And I, oh, my goodness. Was not a fun night for me. So I'm a little like dehydrated and out of it. I meant to record this earlier. Usually I record on Friday so I can pass this over to the podcast playground so they have it in the barrel for Saturday mornings. So I'm doing this a little later than regular and I'm a little bit weird and out of sorts, but life is good besides despite being fucking sick. So I hope things are good for you out there. Oh my goodness, the Marvels is going on this weekend, and the predictions based on the numbers for Thursday nights and whatnot, they just keep getting lower. I mean, it's going to be significantly. Look. Even if, let's say, it surges, right? And I understand there's a lot of people out there who are sort of like apologists and you think it's just kind of fun, frivolous stuff. I would say to you, you've never read any great comics. You probably haven't. If you're looking at the Marvels and you're going like, oh, yeah, you know, what's everybody complaining about? What we're complaining about is that it could be so much better. Like, these things are epic and meaningful and pull your heartstrings. And, you know, they're the Princess Brides, you know, comic book. One of my favorite movies and books of all time is The Princess Bride, because I think it's very well balanced. It's funny. It's action packed. It's meaningful. Love story, revenge. You know, it's got a little bit of everything for everybody. I really think that movie hits on all cylinders. And when the best comic books are being done right, that's what happens, too. You know, you got a great grounded, serious story, but over-the-top stakes and over-the-top characters, and it just plays to this wonderful sense of fun, but also a sense of epicness and meaning and richness that these things don't have when they're made by people who are like, I guess, expecting the material to not be that good. So when they make stuff that's not that good, they're like, there it is, I did the thing. No, you didn't do the thing. The stuff is really good when it's done right. I did an episode where I was lambasting a little bit the Brian Reed written Marvel, Miss Marvel, and they were not terrible. I talked crap about them, the Captain Marvel comics that he wrote. They are heads and shoulders better than anything that they've done in phase four or phase five, these Kevin Feige phases of Marvel. They're solid comic books. I didn't drop the comic book. I kept reading it because I like Carol Danvers and, you know, I like the idea of building her up and all these things. I mean, I really think that it's possible to do this right. Clearly, some people have very fond memories of the Brian Reed run. I think if you're very well read in comic books, you know that Brian Reed's run is like, okay, compared to some things that will blow your mind. And really, these stories, they really just do blow your mind. You know, it's the nature of, if you're out there and you've gotten into soap operas at any point in time and you're like, oh my God, this is so engaging. You're like, maybe this is why people are crazy about soap operas. Or, you know, you've gotten into anything that you thought was like a bit of a fad, but then you realize, oh wow, there's like really substance to this. This is why people like this so much. You know, that's the thing with comics. They really do have substance. There's a reason why people like this so much. And, you know, you just pick up a random issue on the stands or whatever. You look at it and it's boom, pow, and action. It's because that's how comic books work. Comic books are a visual medium. They need to move with the action. But to read deeper into these books, you'll see just layers and layers of wonderful character development and meaningful stories that make you think about things and expand your mind in various ways that they wouldn't have been expanded otherwise because of ideas and concepts that are being introduced to you that just didn't exist yesterday. you know, the possibilities that exist within the Marvel and DC comic book universe and film universe, they're just endless, just like the possibilities in our reality. But we live in a reality that seems very finite. In reality, reality is infinite. So we really, you know, you could look at that in like the small scale. I happen to think that there's like other dimensions and other things just beyond our sight, you know, because we're just beyond our frequency that we're in. But if you want to just take it to like the logical, maybe like a more atheist standpoint kind of thing, they might go, oh, yes, yeah, certainly there is just an infinitum throughout the whole galaxy of all the things. And I'm sure there's different animals and different beings and different things taking place in different ways. I happen to think it's even crazier than that because it like gets into like a whole multiversal. And actually even bringing that up is a perfect segue to this Loki season 2 finale, which is super cool. I've been kind of lukewarm on Loki season 2. I don't know if I've talked about it much, but I've been watching it. Usually I wait for a few episodes to be there so I can watch a few episodes at a time because I don't really like watching like one episode at a time. So I got into it a little late, but I liked it, even though I, like many other commentators on the matter, there's like one episode in particular that really just seems like a waste of time. But that is the point to some degree, this thing of being a waste of time. I don't want to like spoil too much, and I'm not going to spoil too much, I guess. I don't know. I feel like most of you people just aren't going to watch it and don't really care because like the ratings haven't been really good. And it's not like spectacular, but it's interesting. So, all right. Next, like, 60 seconds, I'm going to quickly reveal a couple things. If you don't want to hear it, just go like, la, 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 while I do it. Okay, I'm going to go like, 3, 2, 1, 0. So basically, the basic premise of the Loki thing, you know, has been that there was a sacred timeline, a singular timeline. There wasn't a multiverse. They weren't allowing a multiverse to develop. Now, the multiverse is like trying to develop, and they were trying to basically constrain it throughout this series, which is just really weird because they've made Loki this guy who's like a time guy, and he's the god of mischief. So it's all very weird. But anyway, in the end, he ends up basically destroying the thing that was holding the timeline back, and now we've got a multiverse. And the real like kind of cool reveal is that they show the Tree of Life is something that you might recognize it as, or they show, I think it's Yzdrill, forget how to pronounce it. It's from the Norse mythology. It's the Norse world tree. And what an interesting concept it is, the world tree as a metaphor for the multiverse and all the strands of the multiverse. So very, very cool concept introduced there. I won't talk anymore about like some of the details here. But suffice to say, for those of you who have stopped going la, 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 and are now back with us, well, by the end of Loki, you have essentially the birth or rebirth of a multiverse in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And today, I thought it would be really fun to talk about 13 alternative Marvel Cinematic Universes that they can visit in the next two Avengers multiverse movies, if they are so inclined. Now, I have like a kind of a crazy list of like all these things, and then I've got like my 13. But I thought maybe I would just kind of share like a whole bunch of these things and remind you guys what's out there, what was on the table, right? So if you don't understand what I mean, before Marvel Studios was born and Iron Man came out and the Incredible Hulk came out and eventually the Avengers and all that, Marvel used to license out their characters individually. This started way back with Howard the Duck in, I think, like 86 or something like that, which is really like a bizarre movie. I kind of have a lot of warm spots for Howard the Duck, having seen it when I was a kid. It's a very weird movie. Really is, but there's like some things about it that are very interesting. But Howard the Duck was really a strange first choice. They've also done, like, I think they've done various, like, TV stuff, like TV movies and other things, but this was, like, the first, like, two theaters, Marvel film. Howard the Duck was a very popular character in the comics. He really had, like, caught on and was something that was cool and hip at the time. But, of course, the movie that they made just had no basis in the comic books whatsoever. So it really just was one of is really the beginning of them making movies that just don't freaking appeal to anybody. You know, they try to make it appeal to everybody and they fail at appeasing anybody. However, because of the nostalgia around this movie, I really think it could be a worthwhile thing to visit. But I mean, like I said, I'm going to get to my list in a second. And like, and I have like people, like I have a bit of this idea of like, and some of this has been out in the trades about the Deadpool movie that apparently Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool has to go and find the best Wolverine in the multiverse to help with this multiverse fight, you know, against Kang. So that's kind of fun. And I was like, okay, well, if they did the same thing and they just start sending Avengers and existing characters from the Marvel Universe, who would I want to see meet the various characters? So we'll talk about that later when I get to my list, but right now we'll just go with a few other things that have been made by other studios and constitute other universes before Marvel Studios even began. We've got The Punisher, which had three incarnations, four if you include the Jon Bernthal Netflix series and the Netflix universe. I don't know if it's necessarily actually considered canon next to the Marvel Universe. That's kind of a question myself about that one. I'm not sure if that one's directly tied into the MCU, or I guess some version of it, maybe. Dolph Lundgren, you know, he's just in like a black T-shirt. This is the earliest another early attempt at a Marvel movie with a character who was popular at the time, who was hip and edgy, and they got an actor who was popular at the time, who really wasn't a good choice for Frank Castle. But still, all of these things are now nostalgia bait. These are this is the way it was. It's so funny too. Even though we didn't like the way it was when it came out, now, because that is the way it was, we would like to maybe see guest appearances from some of these characters and things that we didn't like the first time, because that's the way it was. Which is why when something as simple as a gender swap or a race swap happens and not the introduction of a new character, we just don't like it. Because that's the way it was, and you just changed the way it was, and now, like, we got to feel this whole thing out anew. Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, you also got the Tom Jane Punisher, which was kind of a fun one. Again, another universe, because the Punisher looks completely different. And then there's, like, some very loose bits with Garth Ennis's Welcome Back Frank run and some of the things that he did in his Punisher runs. The Russian character shows up in that. Hey, these are cool characters that are on the table. Ray Stevenson had a really cool Punisher movie. Unfortunately, Ray passed away, so it seems like that one's probably going to be a closed door to get to go into that one. And as far as Captain America's concerned, there was a direct-to-video movie that was kind of a little bit of embarrassment. It wasn't the first for Marvel, because I was like, it looks like it would be the first because of how terrible the special effects are and stuff. But as it turned out, Howard the Duck was 4 years earlier, so I'm like, so it's not really like a milestone anything, so I don't really think that one's like a big deal. Then there's four Fantastic Fours. Three Fantastic Fours. There's a Roger Corman Fantastic Four, which is like famously kind of terrible and could be potentially kind of funny. You know, it all depends on what they do, you know, what makes sense to use a lot of these things. But there are definitely some on this list that I'm going to get to once I get out just kind of all the various options that there are that are ones that we would kind of hope for first and foremost. Okay. Also, there's the Josh Trask Fantastic Four, which is the, you know, the gritty modern one with the Michael B. Jordan Human Torch. And then you've got the Tim Story Fantastic Fours, the two films, one featuring the Fantastic Four and the Silver Surfer. So there's a chance for the Silver Surfer to show up, which is pretty cool. And a terrible Doctor Doom. But, ooh, there's a Doctor Doom who could show up from these films. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, give me 1 second. I'm going to take a sip of water. Like I said, I'm sick. All right, where was I? So then you've got the Blade series of films. There's three films, including Ryan Reynolds as Hannibal King. If Deadpool wants to run into himself as Hannibal King and murder himself. He was actually a really good choice for Hannibal King. That third movie just kind of sucks. And you've got, I guess you got Jessica Biel's character. You don't have anybody too significant in terms of like characters that people love from the comic books. I mean, Deacon Frost has become beloved from the first Blade movie. Wesley Snipes, I mean, come on, guys. Like, it's so stupid. They wanted to make a movie about Blade's daughter. And I'm like, how do you not introduce the original Blade? And then just be like, ah, and here's his daughter. Like, why does it got to be some new Blade? And then we introduce to his daughter. It just seems like, what's the significance of that? Who's this new guy? And then if you get us excited with some new actor who's Blade, and we get all excited to see him, and then you pull the other one, and it's his daughter, we're like, what the hell? You know, Wesley Snipes, maybe at least we'll forgive you because he's like, you know, he's getting older. All right, next universe that... Oh, and by the way, the Blade series also had a Blade TV series, which I never saw. I don't think that's necessarily something that we gotta, like, go back and revisit. X-Men, you've got the young X-Men, the new ones that were introduced from First Class, and I forget what the follow-up to First Class was, but those ones are great. Then you've, you know, the McAvoy and Fassbender... Magneto and Professor X team are awesome. And then you've got the old guard, Hugh Jackman's team of X-Men, Storm's in there and Nightcrawler's in there. So there's all sorts of people who could make appearances. I mean, if you really wanted to just do something cool and have a lot of people, you know, do little guest stars, and it's a good way to pay everybody less too. You say, hey, we're like really putting in a lot of guest stars and like, you know, we can't really afford, like, it's not just you. It's not hanging on you. It's hanging on everybody. Could be cool. Also, there was some cool TV shows like The Gifted and Legion. I know people were fans of Legion. Also, there was a Generation X TV series that was short-lived. I think that was a universe separate from all of this stuff. And then you got Spider-Man. You got the two universes. You've got the Sam Raimi three films. And then you got the two movies by, was it Mark Webb? I forget. I think that's his name. The Andrew Garfield universe. Obviously, people were excited about that. I think we can definitely assume that we will see some of that crossing into the Marvel Universe when things get to this place. I mean, obviously, Loki is setting up so much of this interesting multiversal stuff, the way it ends, if you heard my spoiler stuff. The exploration of the Sam Raimi Spider-Man universe in any further capacity, additional villains that we haven't seen, like, could be really... really cool. Also, you got Daredevil and Elektra, played by Ben Affleck and Jon Favreau, as Foggy. Actually, Jon Favreau. That made it sound like Jon Favreau was playing Elektra. He's not. That's Jennifer Garner. But Jon Favreau plays Foggy Nelson, which is pretty funny because you got Happy Hogan in the Iron Man universe that played by Jon Favreau. So, you know, crossover potential. You also have got the Hulk. There's a film by Ang Lee, but also kind of more famously is the Bill Bigsby Hulk with Lou Ferrigno, practical effects of him in that terrible nose piece or whatever. That's a very interesting prospect, the Bill Bigsby. I mean, really, it comes down to Lou Ferrigno. Also, you've got Ghost Rider, as played by Nicolas Cage. You know, two films based on that. Nothing too much that we'd want to take from those films besides Ghost Rider. I mean, it's so funny. All these original movies, like, they, like, never did good by their bad guys and stuff. I mean, you know, Colin Farrell as Bullseye was really dope. You see, that's a cool thing, though. See, if you can bring these things back and do them right, like, you know, you bring back Daredevil and Elektra and you have him fighting Bullseye and he's in his legit costume and it's Colin Farrell doing the thing, or Dolph Lundgren in a real Punisher costume, freaking A. Or Lou Ferrigno surrounded by an Avengers team. Finally, I mean, there's a few here, but I mean, I don't really know these series so well. There was a series on Hulu. I don't know if it's considered to be in the Marvel Universe called Runaways. There was another series called Cloak and Dagger that was on a different, network. Then there was The Inhumans, which I think is supposed to take place in the Marvel Universe. I'm not sure though. And then What If universes. Oh, What If. Then they did the animated series What If, which is actually pretty cool for the most part. Bro Thor is like my least favorite thing in the universe. I never want to watch that ever again, any of the episodes with Bro Thor. And Bro Thor totally takes down the finale because he appears. And ugh, bro, like, just like, just way to continue to make a character suck. Who I really liked, and now you've ruined it. But there is some cool stuff from the What If animated stuff, but I don't really think any of it's really big enough to pull anything. There are some cool things in there, though. And already we got from that, we got Agent Carter as Captain America, or as a Captain Britain kind of type character. And obviously there's tons of animation, X-Men, Spider-Man, Iron Man, Hulk, Fantastic Four, all these things from the 90s. So much Spider-Man animation, a different animation. But the coolest bit of all the animation, I think, is really Into the Spider-Verse, the recent animation with Miles Morales. So without further ado, I am going to give you what I think should be 13 important cameos that should show up in the future of this multiversal Marvel Cinematic Universe. All right, 1 second. Okay. At number one, and I mean, these aren't exactly in, like, any crazy, I didn't, like, go nuts over my order here, but a little bit. At number one, we've got Howard the Duck, and it only makes sense that he should meet, I don't know, maybe that terrible She-Hulk, if they can try to get her right. Or maybe the Howard the Duck alternative computer Howard the Duck and the prosthetic Howard the Duck. That would be kind of funny. I don't know. I think they got to do something with Howard the Duck. This makes me want to start the conversation really with something that I said I'd written in my notes or later. But why couldn't any of these universes be connected to the Marvel Universe to begin with? Like, who says that Howard the Duck movie didn't take place in the Marvel Universe? It was in the 80s. It was a duck man and stuff, you know? Nick Fury could pull out a file and he's like, yeah, here it is, Howard the Duck. You know? Like, I don't think it's really, it's not a huge step. So, I mean, some of these things can, some of these universes can be combined. You know, characters can exist in the same universe. Because at number 2 and 3, I really want to see Doctor Strange team up with Nicolas Cage Ghost Rider and Wesley Snipes Blade. I think those three horror characters are destined to meet, and they could do something really cool. And why couldn't Ghost Rider and Blade be from the same universe? Or why couldn't he collect them from different universes and go do something cool with him? That, I think, would be awesome. Blade and Ghost Rider. That's my 2 and 3. Okay. At number 4, I've got that clearly the Spider-Man love fest needs to continue for Raimi's universe. And in particular, I really feel like Raimi's universe would be a great place to go and see some additional villains, you know, at least one that we have not seen before. Somebody that Spider-Man clearly has been dealing with, but there's no movie based on him, you know, just like put us into it. Give us somebody awesome, you know, maybe a great version of Carnage, or I don't know. That's not the best suggestion, but there's so many different characters that we could get from that universe, and it would give us an opportunity to do any number of versions of these things. So anyway, I say first that, and then at number 5, I say also the Webverse. I don't know if they necessarily need to go to Webb's universe, but I do really enjoy continuing with Andrew Garfield as a character. I mean, clearly they can stop there and do whatever if they continue down the path of making his villains really terrible. I don't know. You know, it's funny. Once these things are established in whatever way that they're established, you kind of just want to see them honored. They're like, no, but like, it's bad. So like, make it like that. See, it really is funny. Like, this just proves the thing. Like, we only ever just want to see the thing honored, even if it's terrible. Well, then honor it. You know, honor its terribleness. Do it in the way that we would like to see it done. All right. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Coming up on number 6. I think that this could be a dope way to introduce Miles Morales to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I think that the perfect person to cast as the live-action version has already been cast in the form of the voice actor who plays him. He looks like the character. He wants to play the character. He's very interested in it. He's like, what do you call it? He's been positive visualizing the role for the voiceover gig and the acting role for years. And I'm such a champion of him. I think he does a great job with the role in the film. And I think he totally looks the part if you look this dude up. I forget what his name is, and I should have looked it up, but I didn't write it down. But if you go on IMDb, you can find out who it is, and you'll see there's some interesting interviews with him talking about how he got this job through positive visualization, through painting a picture of what he wanted. Make no mistake, I know there's a lot of atheists out there. I used to be an atheist, but the world is a mind. Okay, I call myself spiritual now, but I'm not really. Like, I'm still just an atheist. You know, I'm a computer brain, but I see that there's this thing that I can't even begin to understand. So it just becomes a mystical element in your life, this spiritual thing. But really, what are you recognizing? You're recognizing that the what came first, the chicken or the egg? Those aren't the two. Those aren't the only options. The other option is the idea for both. Idea comes before form. Idea first. You need the idea to make the thing happen. And this guy putting out his ideas into the universe of being the actor that'll be the voice of Miles Morales and reading the comics and being a fan and all this stuff and knowing that like it was going to line up for him. Well, it lined up for him and he got the gig. And I think there's a good chance he might get the acting gig at the very least to make a little guest appearance in this movie or in one of these multiversal movies. Because it would be so cool. And because he has done those interviews and because of all this stuff he put out into the universe. So even if you don't even believe in the mystical spiritual aspect of it, I mean, just look at the practical reality of just putting something out into the freaking universe, right? There it is. There's a practical thing that's actually happening and benefiting people. And like every successful person of all time is dealing with some version of this. You know, you want to be Walt Disney? You need a vision, man. Like, you know, you can't be afraid to have that vision. Anyway, I'm so like happy for that dude to get the role and be able to tell that story and prove out that sort of, hermetic and Kabbalistic, belief systems that I really just need to be propagated more in society because we don't recognize the way we're all creating our reality by the way that we think and the way we're treating each other and blah, blah, blah. So, I'm going to continue down the list. I think that it would be very cool to have Captain Marvel maybe meet the X-Men universe. I feel like she's the best candidate for going to visit with the X-Men. And a good use of her, especially to wrap up her story and put her in a coma and do the whole thing and maybe bring her back at a time in the future when people are more excited to see her. And she can do a press tour and apologize to everybody for being annoying to Chris Hemsworth and every other person on the press junkets for the Avengers. And I mean, this is the thing, if you guys didn't see, like, I know there's a lot of defenders of Brie out there. She did herself no favors, dude. And I like her. I think she's a really charming actress. I loved her in 21 Jump Street. She was like the high school girlfriend, and I totally fell in love with her during the movie. I was like, oh my god, I love this girl. And I've seen her a couple of things where I liked her. I think she's done pretty good. But I do think that she's not really, like, it is, there's not a lot of warmth. People keep talking about how Miss Marvel is very charming, and yes, she's a charming person, but it seems, and so is Brie, though. Brie's charmed me in other films, so I don't understand. It seems like they've told her to turn off the charm, and I think that is a big mistake. They also, like, in this new movie, like, she's really thin, and I really think, like, you know, like, boss bitches go to the gym. Like, you know what I'm saying? I think, like, she's a military chick and stuff. Like, I don't know if you've seen any of these military chicks on freaking Instagram and stuff. Yo, dude, you know, these Navy SEALs and these people, like, they're like, they, you know, my girlfriend Julie, she's an electrician. And for her, she's got a bit of a chip on her shoulder. She's doing all this shit with the boys. You know, everybody expects her to not do as well and whatever. And she really feels the need to show up and do it better, that much better. And, like, that is a great thing to get across. Like just not a little bit of intimidation, because it's not really intimidation, but like refusing to bow to that intimidation and you know, positive competitive nature and you know, getting up. I don't really think that they hit it like these things enough, you know. And in the Captain Marvel movie, it's kind of like, you were perfect all along, Captain Marvel. And I don't know. I definitely, that's definitely my least favorite movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I mean, and not the least of which because they did not include Captain Marvel, the original Captain Marvel, who Carol Danvers gets her powers from, is trained by, all these different things. They should have did an adaptation of the death of Captain Marvel. That would have been great. This was Marvel Comics' first graphic novel, a really milestone thing for Marvel Comics, and that would have been dope to do that. But whatever. We are where we are with Captain Marvel. It's about to bomb. It's going to be less successful than The Flash, it looks like. Crazy. But I do think there's room for Carol to meet up with the X-Men in the X-Men universe and get into some shenanigans with them and, you know, maybe give Rogue some powers. Anyway, going on to number 8. It'd be cool to have Iron Man meet Reed Richards, specifically in Tim Story's FF universe. And I'm thinking, hey, man, it's the future. That was like 20 years ago. And Jessica Alba's got herself two beautiful babies. Well, not babies. I think we can go with like 5 and 8 or 6 and 9 or something like that. And they're all on a team together. And the Thing can turn from a normal human being, Michael Chiklis, into the Thing. And we just like say hi to them. And maybe we get like a good like Human Torch joke or like, it's pretty funny, the thing of like the same actors playing the Thing. I feel like you can only do that so many times. Like, I don't know if you want to do it with Captain America because it makes Captain America a joke. I don't think that's funny. But you can make who was the other one that I was saying? You can make Happy Hogan and Foggy Nelson. You can make that like a joke. That's really kind of funny. So I think that's good. Anyway, I think... Oh, and a really good time to introduce the cute robot nanny, Herbie. Just like a really nice expanded Fantastic Four could be super cool. Even though I would definitely love to see that Silver Surfer again, too. The guy who plays Abe Sapien in the Hellboy movies, the one who had the voice actor who did the voice in the first movie say he did a great job. Why don't I just let him do the part? That guy plays Silver Surfer. He does a great job. Granted, you get that terrible cloud Galactus. It's the Galactus cloud. Anyway, you can move the Fantastic Four forward in time. Have them be a larger family and let one of the brains of the Marvel Universe meet up with them, and that would be super cool. Also, at number 9, I think Hulk needs to meet Hulk. Lou Ferrigno Hulk, exactly. Maybe we can get a little bit better special effects makeup this time and have Lou Ferrigno Hulk next to the Avengers, the Thor and Daredevil. You know, like there were some people that were introduced on the TV series at that time. Give him his own simple Avengers team. Maybe there you can throw in that little Captain America appearance from that 1990s Captain America. He's a little weird. But yeah, give Lou a proper send-off. And have like the two Hulks pushing each other around a little bit. That would be really funny. A human being muscle Hulk and a giant CGI monstrosity. Come on, do it. Make it happen, Marvel. All right, at number 10, I've got a proper Ben Affleck Daredevil appearance. I think not only should we get Ben Affleck and Jon Favreau as Matt Murdock and Foggy, but I think, with the mistaken for happy thing, but I think it would be really dope to get like him in a really cool Daredevil costume. Maybe put him in that metal costume, the black and red one that they did in the comics that was designed by Scott McDaniel. Very cool costume, kind of armored. And put him up against Bullseye. Get Colin Farrell in that in the proper costume. Like, legit. How cool would that be? Okay. And mind you, there's multiple movies that they have here. They've got the Kang Dynasty, I think that's called. And they've got, what's the other one? Oh, Avengers Secret Wars. So there's two movies to do all this shit in. So you don't have to do it in one movie. It's just suggestions. But like, come on, it would be cool. Do this. All right, at number 11, I've got, let's get Dolph Lundgren in a proper Punisher outfit, tearing it up for a bit with Spider-Man. Tom Hiddleston's Spider-Man hanging out with Dolph Lundgren Punisher, and perhaps, who else did I want him to hang out with? Oh, and perhaps that Ben Affleck Daredevil. Ben Affleck Daredevil and Dolph Lundgren Punisher. Like, super cool. I think it would be fucking cool. And not like this Flash movie thing where, like, they just, like, zoomed around and it was just, like, CGI renditions of certain things that we might like. Hey, it's Nicolas Cage fighting a spider, but it's not really him. Nicolas Cage is like, I never did that. There's literally a quote from Nicolas Cage talking about how he never did that. Okay. All right, so these last two were kind of cool. Originally, I was going to end with this Dolph Lundgren Punisher thing because I really think, like, getting him in a proper costume and having him tear it up could be pretty cool because he's Dolph Lundgren. He's, you know, just a classic action star and just a thing where he was properly cosplaying as the character and tearing it up a bit could be very cool. But I went and I was looking. Because originally the list was going to be 11, but I upped it to 13 because I just, when I looked at this list of some Marvel TV shows before... before the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I was reminded of a couple that I was like, oh fuck, like how do we miss out on that, on making a proper appearance? And like I'm actually gonna switch them up. So at number 12 we'll say Japanese Spider-Man from the Spider-Man TV show. I think it's Japanese Spider-Man. I'm pretty sure. 42 episodes they did of this show, and it was very popular there. And, you know, he's made some little appearances. I think there was like a minor joke and appearance kind of thing for him in the Into the Spider-Verse films. I really do think that that could be a fun and funny one to visit. Okay. At number 13, I really think is perhaps the coolest one to do because the man is alive. He looks as great as he ever did. And he's still kind of like, got a certain something about him in the Nick Fury role as played by David Hasselhoff. David Hasselhoff starred as Nick Fury in a Nick Fury TV series. I don't know how many episodes of it aired or how many seasons. I think it was pretty short-lived, but he looked good as Nick Fury. And I really do think that, especially just considering the race swap on Sam Jackson's Nick Fury, it would be very cool to see a more traditional Nick Fury as played by David Hasselhoff when he had been cast in the 80s or 90s or whenever it was that they did that show. So that's it. That's my list of 13. I got some other notes down here, so I got a couple of things I guess I'll talk about for a second. But I mean, those are the ones that I think are the most important. I mean, clearly there's other things that could be done that might be cool, but I think these are the ones that people know the most. To a certain degree, it's like the ones that were on the shelf at Blockbuster Video where people stared at the box the longest. I mean, that's like a really big thing. Like people seeing a box every time they go back to the store, it's just seeing a comic, seeing titles. It's like, this is how people get familiar with something. The fact that that's not exactly something that even happens anymore, where you don't necessarily see the box, all the time, or at least not in the same alphabetical order with the thing, because on all these digital websites, their catalogs are changing all the time. So it's not like you're like imprinting on a repeating pattern of these movies that are being offered to you all the time. So it's definitely a little bit of a different thing. But like a whole bunch of these, you know, Howard the Duck and the Dolph Lundgren Punisher, they've been around. They've been around for a long time. And then there are some that are just wonderful, like the Blade films and the X-Men films, you know, and the Sam Raimi Spider-Man. They're really cool. Ghost Rider, there are others that had promise, like Ghost Rider and even the Tim Story Fantastic Four, I think, had a lot of promise, even though it didn't hit the nail on the head. And the second go at Spider-Man had a lot of promise, even though it didn't hit the nail on the head. And the Ang Lee Hulk had a lot of promise, even though it didn't quite hit the nail on the head. I mean, it's boring as fuck, and granted, but there are bits in it. Him fighting those freaking tanks in the wilderness and him dealing with those dogs, the mutant dog. I thought that shit was fun. And you know, and then there's like a ton of things that are much like less well remembered and well known, like the Gifted and Legion and Cloak and Dagger and Inhumans. So I don't really know if that any of those things are worth going back for, because I don't think they've stood the test of time. But I do think that the majority of these things that I've listed here have. And I think the idea of upgrading things like, you know, upgrading that Dolph Lundgren Punisher, upgrading that Ben Affleck Daredevil, upgrading Lou Ferrigno, but keeping it kind of to the thing, and, you know, giving him his own Avengers, giving Tim Story's Fantastic Four team their family, you know, their kids and Herbie. I do think that these things would really move the story forward. I mean, with the X-Men, you know, it's like, you don't want to fucking, you just kind of want to see some of these characters. It'd be great to see like a legit X-Men team, see them in some of their costumes. I don't know. The whole thing kind of makes me nervous, because I'm nervous that they're going to use this as an opportunity to get certain things right, and then they won't get them right in the future when they reboot after Avengers Secret War and they're starting their new universe. And they'll be like, well, last time we did Wolverine with his costume on, so now we'll put him back in a leather jacket. Like, fuck you. It's a bummer. That's a bummer if that's what you guys are going to do. Okay. Combine some of these things if you must. All these universes could have been already existing together, most of them anyway. We just weren't shown the connections. Yeah, you know, I talked about it a little bit earlier, but just why couldn't Wesley Snipes' Blade exist in the universe already? And, like, I don't, it kind of, like you can pick and choose, of course, but if all of a sudden a call went out and, like, And it was answered by the thing from the Tim Story. Well, granted, I'd rather a better version of it all in a lot of these cases. But like Blade, I really think Blade, like, they should have incorporated him into the Marvel Universe. I think Ghost Rider might not have been a bad idea to incorporate into the Marvel Universe. And just, like, you know, pick up where, like, you know, Nick Cage is a really big deal actor. You just got to get it right. Like, they didn't do a bad job in what they did picking him and picking Wesley Snipes. They just did a bad job in their execution. You know, same thing with Mark Webb's Spider-Man. Like, you know, dude is such a great Spider-Man. And what's her name? Is it Emma Stone? Was it? Who is great? Gwen Stacy. But just a lot of the universe construction was crap. I mean, granted, you know, introduce those people, him into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But Blade and Ghost Rider, I think, could have been. Same thing with the Ray Stevenson's Punisher before things had gone off the rails with him. There's definitely a couple of these things that could just be kind of folded in a good way. And I guess we'll see if we get any of that happening when these movies roll around in a little bit. Let's see. Last thing I wrote was, a lot of wrongs can be righted here. Yeah. I've hit on this already, but we like the honoring of the things that suck. Like, because there it is. That is what it is. It is what it is. But that doesn't mean that those things can't be retroactively moved forward and positioned closer to where we would have liked to see them positioned in the first place, which would be major wrongs being right. I mean, just putting a costume on Dolph Lundgren, You're righting a wrong. Giving Ben Affleck a better looking costume, you're wronging right. Letting Lou Ferrigno appear with some better prosthetic makeup and a team of Avengers, you know, that's not wronging right, but you're satisfying a dream and a hope. You know, seeing Tim Story's Fantastic Four with the family, satisfying a hope and a dream. The last one that I would say there is the same thing with, like, I think Howard the Duck from the very beginning. It's like he's in the Marvel Universe, but he's not. But to include him in the Marvel Universe on any level, I think, is really, like, it just brings it all full circle and the multiverse and whatnot. So I think even that can be kind of considered wronging or right. Anyway, I'm like so excited about this. It's been nice to talk about and think about some things that could be really fun. Granted, like, you know, I came up with that great Ghost Rider Blade team up with Doctor Strange when they announced Multiverse of Madness. I'm like, oh my God, there's so many great things they could do. And of course, they didn't do any of those great things. So, you know, I'm kind of like hesitant to get my hopes up too high about what they're actually going to do, because there's some amazing things that can be done, obviously. But will they do them? Will they get them right? I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Anyway, I've got a new podcast that I have been working on and is about to launch maybe next couple weeks, called All Your Favorite Bands Suck. It's a music podcast. I'm a big music geek. Well, it's weird. I know a lot more factual kind of stuff about this. I'm not really like a music fan who loves the minutia of artists and like all the shit that they drank that day when they recorded this album and all this stuff. But I'm a music lover. And there's a lot of bands that I don't think get enough attention for being awesome. And if you go like look up a top 100 bands of all time list, you know, you're going to find that there's a lot of bands that deserve to be on these lists that are not there. So I'm just kind of putting out a show where I'm going to do weekly gushing reviews kind of my favorite bands, where I started, how I got into them, what I would recommend to you to get into some of these bands. And it'll be really pretty easy thing. If there's any band that like you're interested in, you'll be able to scan through my podcast list and go, oh, well, The Offspring. Okay, cool. Yeah, I always wanted to like, you know, get into them. Where does Jesse say to start? Oh, Rage Against the Machine? All right, where does Jesse say to start? And it's really going to be a range, because it's not going to be all rock and roll acts. I really like a wide range of music. So I'm excited about it. I already started recording some of the episodes and just finished designing the logo, which is really cool. All Your Favorite Band Sucks. It's like stickers. They're all like on top of each other, like in a bathroom. It's my friend Michael's idea. I thought it was awesome. Shout out to Michael. So I'm really excited about that. And then also another really cool thing is pretty soon going to be launching on Fund My Comic First is a new comic book that I'm doing. It's called Fucking For Our Future. It's a adult mature readers book comedy aimed at the mature readers audience on Kickstarter and all these places that are buying all these nude books. But I did something that was intellectually really stimulating to me, because usually I hate books with like nudity on the cover, because I feel like the nudity ruins the interiors, because it just doesn't make any sense. Why were they nude on the cover? So I was like, I'm going to make a book where the nudity on the cover actually makes sense to the story. And I did. And long story short, it's just about Planet Glon, where the men and women separated a long time ago. And now the women's cloning facilities are breaking down, and they have to go retrieve sperm samples in the wilderness from the men who have like de-evolved themselves into animals with enormous penises. They're called the three-legged men. And the men just, they're not interested in women anymore. So it's very hard for them to get these sperm samples. It's very, very, very funny. And I'm really excited about it. I did the book with Dizzy Arnold, a good friend of mine, a brilliant artist. And it's just been so fun to do. The book's all finished, ready to go, and it's going to be getting launched shortly. And for those of you who are doing the King of Kings Kickstarter with me, I just put my orders in for the t-shirts. For those of you who are getting some of our Jesus and the Apostles t-shirt or our Odin the Gods of Rock t-shirt, and I'm about to be putting in the print order on Monday. I've got my printer locked in. Everything's locked in. And it's really cool. I'm excited. I'm probably going to be sending these things out in the next like 3 weeks. You know, by the end of November, I think they should be like heading out to people. So I'm stoked. Life is good. And that's it, coolest geeks. I'm your passionate geek culture commentator, your enthusiastic participator in life, in geek life, Jesse Blaze Snyder. You can write to me at jesseblaze@jessesnyder.com. I love you all so much, and I look forward to hearing from you. Anyway, thank you for listening to my show, and I hope you'll join me again next Saturday and this Wednesday for another awesome fucking episode of The Coolest Geek Alive. It's my favorite part.
Coolest alive. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Stay with your tribe. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Revenge of the Geeks. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Week after weeks. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Laughing with you. It's gonna be fucking awesome. And crying sometimes too. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Spilling it out. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Making you shout.
You've been listening to Coolest Geek Alive with me, your host, Jesse Blaze Snyder. Don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe for more excellent geek culture content. Thanks for listening.
gonna be fucking awesome.
Talking some shit.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Living your shit.
My voice
gonna be fucking awesome.
Food in our mouth.
Fucking awesome. Fucking awesome. It's gotta be fucking awesome. Just wait. You'll see. You'll all see.
The Podcast Playground.